Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings. This is Nazim Rashid. Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Yes, I was off for a couple of Wednesdays there, recovering from a major neck surgery. That's okay. We're back on the air and we're doing it. We're going to have a good time today, absolutely. My voice might be a little hoarse. That's part of the aftermath of the surgery, but that's okay. You can hear me loud and clear, and we'll have a great time today. Absolutely. Now, this is part seven, I believe, part seven of Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth. Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth. Absolutely. All right? All right, for those who are regulars, you've heard probably my series on recovery and addictions and recovery, and then I had a long one on marriages there also, committed relationships and marriages. Now, this is a new one, or fairly new, it's part seven, of Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth. Absolutely. All right, now last time we actually stopped on faith. Now, you know what I'm doing, I'm taking the personal growth areas in my book, Reconnected, and applying them to the topic on hand, which is conscious parenting and personal growth. So we need to have conscious parenting out here in order to have conscious children. All right. Now, before that, you got to have personal growth yourself, because you can't give what you do not have. And in case you're not parents, hey, take the personal growth part and run with it. You'll have a better life. Absolutely. So it affects everybody, whether you're a parent or not. Okay, now we're going to talk about faith today, F-I-T-H, faith. That's very important as a conscious parent and for you personally. Because if you don't have that, you see, all right, then you are missing out on a reality that is for you, but you're not in touch with. That's what faith means, is you actually believe in another kind of reality. Now, we talked before about the topic, about the definition of faith. And I went through that before in the past episode, so I encourage everybody to go back if you haven't heard the previous installment, part six, to go to blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred. And scroll down to the archives till you see personal growth and conscious parenting. And you'll see the all the installments there, and click on part six, or just go to the beginning if you never heard any of these. Then you can catch up, okay? All right. Faith is very important to pass on to the little ones and to have yourself, okay? All right. Most of us have experienced faith. Yeah, we have, in action. If we have lived long enough. Mm-hmm. For some, it might be going through a recovery process from an addiction or bad marriage. For some, it might be leaving or getting a job. For some, it might be finding that soulmate and allowing yourself to be vulnerable, although you have been hurt often before. Mm-hmm. For some, it might be finally speaking up for yourself. For some, it might be following a natural health program that you have been fighting internally for years because you were afraid or unsure of the results. Now, you might feel guilty going against some family eating traditions. Ooh, hear this. For some, it might be receiving benefits of a new religious path. Okay? For some, it might be experiencing surgery where the doctor painted a negative picture, but in the end, the results were in your favor. I just experienced that one. Yeah. For some, it might be committing yourself to a higher college education. For some, it might be joining the army with the positive benefits. You see, it is important to make action a dominant factor in this faith process. You cannot be satisfied with having all the faith you can imagine and afterwards do absolutely nothing to reinforce your new found belief. You cannot even hold on to your great faith image and possibility if you do nothing to make it a reality. The faith gives you the motivation to create the change you are seeking. Faith gives you the certainty that your reward from your honest efforts will be there waiting for you. See, faith gives you the insight and the vision of the end result, which is predicated on you doing the work necessary for its achievement. Now make certain that your faith is inspired action. Hear that. Yeah, make sure your action is inspired action. Yeah. When you are spinning your wheels, trying to get your car out of the snow, and a lot of people are doing that back east right now, you are in an action mode. You see, but this kind of action is not gaining you any traction. The idea of simply working hard to make something happen is not necessarily the best way of realizing your goals. You see, faith says that your desires are already yours. Yeah. So you don't have to fight the currents of your life experiences to reach your goals. Since your desires are already in place for you, all that is necessary is for you to relax and go forward only with inspired action. This, of course, takes faith that has to resonate within. You see, working smart, and I'll say it again, working smart defeats working hard every time. Oh, yeah. Now, sometimes, yeah, your reward is received without physical labor on your part. But most of the time, the work is done intentionally. See, God does what God does, so we can't regulate God's rewards to us based solely on what we are doing directly in those areas of interest. Yeah, that's right. For example, we have absolute faith that we're going to meet our soulmate and life partner, despite our many failed relationships. We know this because our strong faith that God has us on his favored list will reward us for our honest intentions and character. All right? Our faith in God, along with our intention to always do what is right, will direct us toward the mate chosen for us. See, our work and intentions are already registered with God. So all we need to do is be consistent in our faith and deeds. God will do the rest. He will cover the how and when. Let me say it again. God will cover the how and when. Our part is the what and why. Everybody got that? God's part, how and when. Our part, what and why. What do you want? What do you really want? And why do you want it? What are you going to do after you get it? See, these are the kind of things you have to process and have be really firm and clear and have a real clear picture about that in your mind. Yeah, that's how it happens. So you see, you can't predict when your rewards will reach you just because you are doing the work you think is needed. It all comes back to having faith first and foremost, which gives us the sense of knowing our reward has our name on it. All right, got that? Yeah. It is a challenge to talk about faith to someone who has never consciously experienced faith. Yeah, it is sad, it really is, to win to someone's life that is full of pessimism, doubt, and fatalism, and thinks that faith-based people are not grounded in reality. Some of these people look down on church-going folks and religious people and religions in general with distaste. Yeah, for sure. In fact, we heard about it on the news recently about the guy who killed these three Muslim girls. He couldn't stand any religions. It is true. There are some religious folk that put themselves on pedestals, berate anyone who doesn't look like or believe exactly as they do. Yeah, there are some people like that. And it is unfortunate. That kind of mentality has soured many away from religion entirely. Yeah. I tell people all the time that it is not the people, it is the path. Again, it is not the people, it is the path. The focus is not on what you see and observe. No, can't do that. Your focus should remain on the path you have given yourself to, the invisible. The invisible. Don't get sidetracked by the misguided. Yeah. Putting all your hope and faith in people will always lead to your disappointment. Guaranteed. Let me say it again. Putting all your hope and faith in people will always lead to your disappointment. Guaranteed. People don't deserve all your faith. That level of faith should only be given to the one who created you. Everything you see and everything you don't see. That level of faith and allegiance is what creates cults and mind-controlling groups. You know it's right. We've seen it already in our lifetime. Yeah. Now, in order to be the best parent, you have to possess a strong faith in your higher self, all the wonderful possibilities, and then pass that vision on to your little one. I say a strong faith in your higher self for a reason. You have heard people talk about believing in yourself. That's an old cliche, right? Just believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. I've always had a problem with that statement. A prisoner doing time for bank robbery believes in himself and strengthens his belief so he can, in his mind, rob banks better than before when he gets out. He believes in the self that is a bank robber. A pimp tells his working girls to believe in themselves so that they will do a good job and get more Johns than the next girl. A professional hitman has a strong belief in himself to carry out his contract successfully and avoid getting caught. Well, an adulterous husband in himself, as he juggles a double lifestyle between his wife and his girlfriend or girlfriends. Yeah. If you want to be successful at anything, you need to believe in yourself. This is how you gain the mental fortitude to carry out your cause. So, you see, we have to make a sharp distinction between believing in yourself and believing in your higher self. Hear that? Believing in yourself and believing in your higher self. We all have an inner higher self that is inherently good. That higher self wants that which is right, and that particular self, working through your conscious, produces good and bad feelings when you do certain things. I don't think anybody is bad at the core. Even those that have been possessed have been invaded by whatever spirit there was, but the core was still intact. You see, we might not see or know the core, but spirit leaves the body, we then see the innocent core. Even when we never see the innocent core, we just have to have faith that it is there buried deep. Belief in our higher self is that innocent core self. The self that produces bad feelings when we do something that we shouldn't be doing or thinking, and the same self that produces good feelings when we do something and think about something that we will be proud of later. See, that higher self only produces that which is life-giving and health-promoting, and that which is positively benefiting others. Hear that? All right? That's really the standard. Let me say it again. The higher self only produces that which is life-giving, which is health-promoting, and that which is positively benefiting others. All right? Some call it the God self within. Yeah. Here's a quote by a brother of mine named Jamal Rashid. He's a fellow counselor. And he let me use his quote. He says, "When our emotional makeup follows the negative side of our emotions, then we can expect to experience harsh realities. As a result of mental and emotional imprisonment, the misguided have detached themselves away from their strengths, which are located within the contents of their original nature that requires the growth and development of the human mind to produce and enhance wholesome and healthy individual, family, and community life to the fullest degree of our human potentials." Mm-hmm. End quote. Yeah, Jamal Rashid. Yeah. All right, very important. Everybody got that? Yeah, real important. Now, that kind of concludes the area of faith. And I, like I was saying before, I encourage everybody to go to the archives and hear the whole thing. You can hear the beginning part of that, you know. It's really, really important to understand what we're talking about there. You know, and like I always said in the very beginning, it's not about religion at all, you know, not religion. I've spent 20 years in the mental health and drug counseling fields. I went through 12 step myself. And I've been teaching in the community for a long time. And so 4 years of producing the book brought this out. Okay? There's spirituality throughout my workshops and the book, but it's not religious. It's a very, very difference. Now, this area on faith reflects that. The next area is spirituality. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And before I go into that, let me expound on the chapters here. So I can bring everybody up to speed, okay? And they are forgiveness. That's first. We have to learn how to let go. I talk about that quite a bit, how to let go. You know, you can't go forward unless you relieve the weight that is burdening you. Yeah, for sure. Then you have validation. Validation. Too many of us were not validated as children. And so we go through life lost. And drug addiction, depression, mental illness, a lot of those things stem from a lack of validation. Our lives just kind of go downhill. Your self-esteem after that. You know, many of us don't feel good about ourselves. You know, we don't have a good concept of ourselves. Yeah. So we talk about that too. So all these are steps you have to take in order to be that mentor, you know, to go back in time and change scenarios in your life. Mentor to your child self and really change the feelings you've had in the past. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm, absolutely. And if you want to become the best parent and the best person in general, these are steps you take. Next is visualization. We have to have good dreams and then hold on to those dreams and make those dreams reality. Visualization. Yeah, just think about a person who created the paperclip. Simple paperclip. He had to visualize this little piece of, you know, metal that can hold papers together, a simple thing. You know, don't you know that, you know, it's a multi-million-dollar kind of idea right there? And he profited on that. Paperclip. What are you producing? What are you creating? What are you visualizing for yourself today? Self-image after that. What picture do you have of yourself? That's very important. Man, but hate our image, hate our concept. Yeah, we can't even look in the mirror. After that, we have communication and listening skills. Many of us don't know how to communicate, how to listen. That's what destroys marriages, destroys relationships, and really, you know, kind of leaves you on the outside. Yeah, people love people who are empathic and like to listen to them. Yeah. After that, optimism. What are you drawing to yourself, optimism or pessimism? Do you really believe that the best is possible and probable in your life? Huh? Optimism. After that, gratitude. Gratitude. You know, we should be giving gratitude before our feet hit the ground in the morning. Absolutely, all day long, being thankful for every little thing we see and don't see. After that comes faith. We just finished faith today. Believing in an unseen, believing in a reality beyond the reality our physical eyes are showing us. Then spirituality, we're going to talk about in a minute or two. Connectedness to God, connectedness, that's what spirituality is there. After that, we have attachments, codependency, and addictions. This is so, so very important and applicable, not just to those with drug addictions. No, no, no. All of us, a lot of us have unhealthy attachments, and they are running and ruining our lives. We're going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. After that is 12 principles of recovery. There's a step-by-step process. Yeah, in order to have a clean, sober, and intelligent, and productive life. Yes, yes, much better than 12 steps. After that, we have identifying and managing emotions. Too many of us have issues with that. We react. We do things without thinking. But understanding how the brain works, we have the prefrontal cortex. We also have in the front. We also have in the back. We have mammalian and reptilian brains, which are bigger than the frontal cortex. So we have the consciousness to go to the front in order to think. Yeah, we're going to talk about that there. So those are the chapters in the book there. And my website, cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. I email nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. All right? All right, spirituality. Yeah, moving on here. Real important. Universal spirituality is another very important concept to be passed on to our youth. Yeah, yeah, I wish I had this. Unfortunately, most of our youth of today and yesterday have not been exposed to this idea of a spirituality that I'm presenting today. We're going to describe spirituality as it differs from religion, as most of us have been taught and experienced in various churches, synagogues, masajid, ashrams, and temples. There are many religious paths, and the right path is the one that's right for you. The choice is wholly yours. That is not what I will be describing here in this discussion. Many religions actually separate you from source, as Dr. Wayne Dyer describes God and his power of intentions. Many religions tell you that you cannot speak directly to energy source, infinite intelligence, spirit source energy, or God, whatever name you want to apply. Mm-hmm. You need to go through another source first. You are told that there are earthly rules and traditions that must be adhered to, or you're made to feel guilty, sinful, and a candidate for hellfire. And the hellfire is made so vivid with science fiction-style horror that you are full of fear, thinking that you will be burning soon for not living up to the dictates of the pastor. Yeah. This is not the kind of spirituality referred to in this discussion. That the pastor. True universal spirituality is simply connectedness to God, like I was saying a little while ago. Connectedness to God. Now, I love the different perspectives of God that Dr. Dyer and the various personal development experts in The Secret, remember The Secret? Yeah, Rhonda Byrne, some years ago. They use to bring a new possible awareness that we might not have had before. God is the source of everything. God is source energy. As we are reflections of God, we should look at what God does and somehow mimic what we can into our lives. All right? Now, most religions, say that we are the image of God. What does that mean? Well, we are to reflect God in our lives. So, when you have a mirror in front of you, what do you see in that mirror? It is your reflection. Isn't that your image? Yeah. Doesn't that image belong to you? Isn't that image just a reflection of yourself? The actual object you see, glass in a frame. It has no power whatsoever. It is just a created object designed to give you a reflection of yourself. The mirror is not God. The mirror is not flesh and blood. The mirror is not a creator of any sort. With that fact in mind, we now can see ourselves in a clearer perspective. You see, we reflect God's way, attributes, characteristics, and spirit. And the more we consciously reflect God in this way, the more we naturally will be aligned with God. The more we are aligned with God, the more we will receive, because we will be in a perfect receiving mode. All right. We need to evolve ourselves from taking everything we hear to be so concrete and literal from the religious community. We should be reflecting God's attributes and characteristics. We have to keep in mind that source and source energy is all inside of us as well as outside of us. We have God residing right within. We don't have to travel to far-off lands to talk to God. We don't have to go through rituals and traditions before we have access to God. We don't have to get permission first before God will listen to us from whatever religious authority we might respect. And we don't have to go through any intermediary to get to God. Yeah, I heard so many people say they went to far-off lands and you climb mountains and reach the very top to talk to some guru there and stayed there a long time in order to find God. Anyway, here's this quote here. This is a quote by actually James Ray. I like James Ray. You know, he got into some trouble not that long ago. Quote, the quantum physicist would say in response to the question, what created the world or universe? He or she would say energy. Well, describe energy. They will respond with, it can never be created or destroyed. It always was, always will be, always has been in everything that has ever existed. It has always existed, moving in form, through form, and out of form. Now, if you ask a theologian the same question, what created the universe? It would say God. Okay, now describe God. God can never be created or destroyed, always was, always has been, and everything that has ever existed. Always will be, always has existed, moving in form, through form, and out of form. Same thing, huh? Okay. Hope that's real clear. Hope that's real clear and resolves some of the issues a lot of us have had with God and different religions. You see? There's only one God. God's in me, God's in you. God's in that flower out there. God's in that rock. You see? God is in that budding rose that you like. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and very important. We are creators emanating from a bigger creative source. We, and only we, have the responsibility of co-creating our lives. We are energy emanating from a bigger energy source. With this concept in mind, we see that we, as an energy field, cannot be destroyed. We existed before this temporary and earthly experience as energy, and we will still exist after this earthly experience. Since the energy that created the universe, all we see and all we don't see is reflected within us, we can now create more, think more, receive more, and be more, knowing that everything that we need is already inside. In the Holy Quran, Allah says, I have given you everything you need for the complete fulfillment of your lives. You see, end quote. We are spirit emanating from a bigger spiritual origin. We are love emanating from a bigger source of love. We are givers of ourselves to others as God is the master giver to everyone. See, externally, we are compassionate, as God is the source of compassion. We are reflections of our source. The more we reflect our source, the more we will be connected and the more we will receive. See, this means that we have to what? Submit. Submit. Oh, y'all don't like that word, huh? Submission is a challenge to many people because we have to give up ego in this regard. Uh-oh. Submission means to accept and internalize what was just described. It also means that in the submission mode, we are now in the position of allowing spirit to come in and take up residency within. God is now welcome and invited to be the pilot, while we are the co-pilot of our lives. This is spirituality. We are all connected. We all came from the same energy source. Yeah. This is why it is so important to put out the best intentions with one another. Do your best by one another. Communicate and empathize in the best way and see to it that someone else is benefiting, by your output of energy on a regular basis. The reason for this is simple. If you think harms anyone, their harming energy will affect you. If you do harm to anyone, harm will visit you on one level or another. If you lie or misuse the trust someone has in you, that negative energy will find you. That's for sure. You know? If you are judging others, that same judging energy will come your way. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This is the idea of being connected to one another. Whatever you put out there will also come your way. So why not think about building and producing for someone, communities, or for international societies? Think about how that would look once it multiplies in your life and in others. With this concept in mind, we can see spirituality manifesting in our lives daily. When we obey our parents, listen, children, we are being spiritual. When we share our toys, we are being spiritual. When we feel and show love to our family members and non-members, we are being spiritual. When we forgive others and ourselves, we are being spiritual. When we are manifesting excellence in our lives, we are being spiritual. When we are demonstrating empathy for others, we are being spiritual. When success of our marital relationships is bigger than our egos, we are being spiritual. See, we are creating miracles. Miracles such as ideas that will provide benefit to many others. Music for the world. Books for enlightenment. New business ideas and concepts. Artistic expressions. Educational institutions that will be here long after you are gone. Healthy family and business associations in our communities. And you know we need that. Health and nutritional breakthroughs that will change the course of history. Yeah. Yeah. Is everybody getting that? This is so, so very important. In this process, we are being spiritual. We are connected to Source. We are one and aligned with the power of intention. As like Dr. Wayne Dyer describes in his Power of Intention, which I so love. The key, or the question to keep in mind is this. Is this action, goal, or intention of mine going to benefit others? How will lives be changed with this goal of mine? Is my giving to others a major part of my intention? If your answers are in the affirmative, then you are connected to Source. For you need to have the spirit of service to others in order to be successful. And did you get that one? Yeah. And when I say Source, I'm talking about God. I'm trying to be as universal as possible here, you know. Yeah, for sure. Some people like to call God Source Energy, Infinite Intelligence. So I'm trying to cover all the bases. All right. Some call him Allah. Yeah. So there is a wonderful movement going on now that has promising results. Yeah, it is. This movement is the Interfaith Movement. I love it. Interfaith groups are popping up all over the U.S. right now. And I think this is a great opportunity. It's great for humanity. See, interfaith groups realize that the best way to bring people together to talk about common solutions in society is to focus on our common spiritual ties. Yeah. The ones that are in tune, humanely speaking, know that we have more in common than we do in differences. I've been in interfaith circles on many occasions. I have witnessed a spiritual love that is unprecedented. People there put aside their differences, closed-door politics, backroom judgments, even dictates from their religious leaders, and join hands with other spiritually based souls. I think some of them were even embarrassed because they don't agree with the pastor or the partially and divisiveness that the leaders have espoused. But they're there anyway because their heart feels good there. Yeah. I think that we should not be in any group or religion that has hate as a doctrine to be followed and practiced. Hate is not an attribute of God. Love is an attribute of God. Dr. Dyer says that the word good is God with an additional O. How about that? So anytime that you are thinking of anything that is good, just say to yourself that God is there because God is good. And good is God. Here's some examples. Wow, girl, you sure look good today. What are you really saying? Wow, girl, you sure have God in you and around you today. How about this? Hey, son, your teacher said that you did good today and you were helping out with some other boy with their work. You're really saying, hey, son, your teacher said that you are exemplifying God today and you were helping some other boy with his work. See? Isn't that a higher vibration? Yeah. How about this? Maddie, you know that helping mommy around the house and in the garden is a good thing, don't you? Interpret it as this. Maddie, you know that helping mommy around the house and in the garden is displaying God in action, don't you? See? See how that feels? Another. Jamal, speaking up for yourself, expressing your feelings is a very good thing, and your parents will appreciate that in you. Huh? Yeah. How else will they know what is inside you? You really mean? Jamal, speaking up for yourself, expressing your feelings, is a very God-like thing to do because your intention is sincere and loving, and you want to connect in the positive way with your parents. They will appreciate that in you, for they will now know how you are inside. Ooh, isn't that something? Man, that's something. What a difference that makes. Nita, I really love how grateful and good you are in saying thank you all the time. You really mean. Nita, I really appreciate how grateful and godlike you are in saying thank you all the time. Yeah. Now feel how that feels, kind of check, you know, your own self. Yeah, when I had the alternative interpretation, didn't that feel better to you? Yeah. You see, there are no limitations with God. You know that. God has no reservations in giving. There are no shortages in the universe, scarcity or poverty in or with God. Even the word no is not a word that resides with God. The universally accepted word is yes. Yes. You say no way too much without you. Now think about this. I'm going to go back here a little bit. There are no shortages with God. So why do so many people think there are shortages, even with relationships? A lot of our sisters are saying there's a shortage of men. So I need to accept, share my men with one or two or three other sisters. They do that. I hear them say it. I used to teach in a pregnant parenting school some years ago. I heard the conversations. Well, girl, if I can be a good number three, I'll be satisfied. Huh? You're saying that there are shortages in the universe. God cannot reward you with someone by yourself. He has to share, you know, share body fluids with three other or four other women, and you too, and that's okay. There's no scarcity or poverty in or with God. Even with, you know, people want to get, you know, married two and three, four of the women. Same thing, same mentality. The women, self-esteem is not high enough to think that they don't deserve to have true love themselves and have one life partner for their, you know, for themselves. They can't have that. God is not going to give them that. So they gotta settle on being number two, three, or four, and get no legal benefits, by the way, if something happens. Get nothing if things turn sour. Huh? There is no scarcity with God. Yeah. Yeah. Now, when I said the universal word is yes, yeah. When we say no to our children, make sure you counter that with a yes. Too many times we say no, 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 no. Where's the yes? Where's the yes list? If you say no, offer a yes so they know what is okay to do. See, I was in a customer service line one day, and I was witnessing the extreme negative results of parents saying no to their children way too much. So a mother was in line with her 4 or 5 year old daughter. The daughter was standing behind her mother with her back against her legs, facing the opposite side, actually facing me. I was behind her. I was in line behind the mother, so the child was facing me. Her mother asked if she wanted anything from the store that they were in. The girl stared with a solemn look on her face and said, "Mommy, we can't afford it. Mommy, we can't afford it." The mom said with a little more enthusiasm, "How about us going over to the toy department?" The girl didn't budge and said again in a droning manner, "Mommy, we can't afford it." I thought, what a sad scene to witness. This girl must have been told we can't afford it so many times that she turned off the internal joy of receiving anything, thinking that we can't afford it. Wow. Think about how her inner child was feeling. Think about her self-esteem and self-image levels. Think about her internal belief system. This little cute 5-year-old was damaged. And that is what many children have lived through, internalized, and lived their lives by. Depression is already starting to set in. This is one of the many reasons that we have the many damaged souls here today, young and old. And these damaged souls are damaging subconsciously themselves and others in their environment. Think about what a distraught soul growing up like this can do to others. She is so far away from God, thus being far away from being aligned with the help and health she needs to be, a caring, giving, thinking, supporting, loving, independent human being. The unlimited abundance that is inherent in the universe and is available to everyone won't benefit this little girl because she is tuned in to this station. Mommy, we can't afford it. Why do you think they call it your radio, call your radio a tuner and a receiver? A tuner and a receiver. If you want to hear a certain radio program, you have to have your tuner set on that particular frequency. Hear me now. It is then you can receive the program that you want. In order to receive anything that you want, you have to first be in tune with that particular frequency. Got it now? Everything has its own frequency. Take note of these frequencies: abundance, forgiveness, love for others, self-love, gratitude, realizing your greatness, the perfect, healthy marriage. When we are tuned into these frequencies, we are truly connected to God, and then we can experience a life that we before only imagined. Yeah. Now, how do you know what the frequency is of the thing that you want so you can tune into it? The only element that we have control over and that we own are our feelings. It is our feelings that align us with the objective that we seek. Yeah, in your visualization. Spirituality is the connectedness to our source, to God, our creator. Now, being in tune is the same thing as saying that you are connected. What brings you back to source? What brings you back to God? What brings you back to the goal that you have? Brings you back home where it is warm and comfortable, huh? It is your feelings. You have to be in touch with your feelings. You have to know what feelings you are feeling and what feelings you want to feel. That is a very important statement to internalize for all of us. You have to know what feelings you are feeling and feelings you want to feel. Let me say it again. You have to know what feelings you are feeling and what feelings you want to feel. Now, the other way to connect to God, to reflect and emulate God's attributes and characteristics. We have to always keep in mind that since God is within us all, God's characteristics have to also be within us. So, what are God's attributes? Well, let's examine them. Here are some examples of God's attributes taken from the 99 attributes of Allah. Even though this is from an Islamic source, the principles are universal. All-knowing. Forgiving, always providing, sharing, creating, the all-powerful, the protector, the source of peace, the patient, the light, the compassionate, source of all goodness, the most able, the most kind, all-seeing, all hearing, the provider, the appreciative, giver of life, the guide to the right path, the truth, the wise, the loving, the protecting friend. All right, those are some. Good, not all, some. When we are thinking and acting from these characteristics in the balanced way, it is then that we know that we are connected to our God. When you are connected to source energy, universal intelligence, source, God, Allah, we will be in the receiving mode. See, it is in this mode that miracles in your life start to manifest. Oh, yeah. For instance, when you are living in the role of protector and you add strong, confirming feelings, you will feel like protecting that sacred part of you, which is your soul, your divine spirit within. You will feel compelled to strongly guard that part of you that is committed to believing, acting, thinking, and speaking in the most healthy, proper way possible. Protecting your soul also means that you will not accept on any level disrespect and berating comments. As you are in a protector mode, you also feel like you are protected. Make sense? Okay, all right, I'm trying to bring it home here. I'm trying to take it slow, too. I have received these special feelings on many occasions when I was helping others. Yeah, a little personal story here. There have been times when I was traveling to youth workshops to assist them in developing life skills, communications, and listening skills, where I felt strong, assuring feelings that I was being used as an angel to deliver God's message to them. I knew that I was protected and guided all the way there and back. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Another story here, and this is really something. Talking about miracles. A dear friend of mine in Oakland was suffering with terminal cancer and wanted my intervention in prayer. And when my spirit connected with her spirit, I immediately went home and started praying for her, knowing that divine energy was being tapped in her behalf. Now, she was going into the surgery room for an examination of the cancerous tumor that was taking her life away. I was praying at the exact time of her entrance into the surgery room. During that prayer, I received a warm, flushed feeling all over and an assurance that she was completely healed, and I started to laugh joyously. Hey, how about that, huh? Yeah. I started to really laugh. I called her husband in the hospital to check on the progress there, but he was still in the operating room. I called later and talked to him. I inquired with an optimistic and joyous tone, and he told me ecstatically that the doctors could not find any tumor there, that there must have been some mistake in prior diagnosis. Yeah, isn't that something? Mm-hmm. I told him that I knew she had been healed because God reassured me during prayer with that warm glow and the comforting feeling. See, we both praise God for that miracle. Oh, yeah. See, this is the kind of thing that happens when you are without a hint of doubt connected to God. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. As God is creator, we as reflections of God are co-creators. We create our lives either positively or negatively. You know that's right. We create or mold ourselves into the shapes of our desires, or we allow ourselves to be shaped by the influences in our environment. And when we allow the environment to shape our thinking, believing, and acting, we have given our power over to others that should always reside within us alone. Yeah. If we hold on to knowing that we create our lives, we can think before we act. We know now that everything we think and do is a choice on our part. You got those choices. Yeah, for sure. When we allow our emotions to control our behavior, then we have given up power of choice to the spirit of emotions instead of to the spirit of intellect. See, this is what I'm going to talk about in that chapter on identifying and managing emotions. Oh yeah, you get a little peep into it now, because it's related to this. As creators, we have to know what we want, maintain a mindset of staying in godly form. Yeah, godly form means to think and act from some of God's attributes stated earlier. See, we have to ask ourselves, what do we really want in our lives? I'll say it again. What do you really want in your life? As we constantly stay in harmony, God, we are witness. Yeah, we witness in our lives, as God is always in a state of creating, that we will be creating more for ourselves and others. It is in this state that we still attract all the assistance that we need. Keep in mind that we can't demand when our assistance will arrive. Yeah, we can't demand when our assistance will arrive. That kind of gets me too, actually. The assistance appears when it is supposed to appear, which can be frustrating for some. Yeah, we want to help by tomorrow at 6, but it might arrive a month later. Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. You see, you might want to enrich yourself in order to be in a position of helping and enriching others. You can't give to others what you don't have. You might want to share an idea with multitudes of people that can change their lives forever. But in order to do that, you have to have the means to make that happen. You need to be receiving an abundance of money. Need some cash. You need to tap into that ever-producing source of financial abundance so you can help the way you want to. And also to show by example how others can be abundant too. Yeah. This is also connecting to source energy, to Allah, to God. This is also being spiritual. You are connecting to that spiritual source of abundance that is always with you. Everything that you need for the complete fulfillment of your life, like scripture says, it all lies within you. When you connect, it is then that you can benefit from that internal and eternal gold mine. Yeah, I'll give you a little quote from that song, Clouds of Abundance. That's a theme song of my program, The Reconnected Show, which I'll talk about in a minute. It says, clouds of abundance keep on following me. I see the people stop and stare. Mm-hmm. I am surrounded by more prosperity. There is no room for despair. All right? I'm not a rapper. All right? So, very important. And I'm going to kind of close it right there. And for those who tune into the show, you know, the show is supposed to start at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, but sometimes the Blog Talk doesn't allow me to schedule it then, and I have to go on at 6:30. So it was on at 6:30 today. And so I don't know if it'll be 6:30 or 7 next week. You just have it. All you got to do is just go to blogtalkradio.com/emailalfred and scroll down, and it'll tell you what time the show is going to be. Okay? Or you can be on my email. Email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. My website, cloudsofabundance.com. cloudsofabundance.com. I hope everybody has the book by now, and is also changing their own life, because the book will change your life if you allow it to. Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self can be on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, in the book, in the paperback version, or the e-book version if you have a Nook or a Kindle. Okay? Yeah. If you go to my site, cloudsofabundance.com, I'll mail it to you personally and autograph it for you. All right, get this book. It's very, very important. I want people to have this in all parts of the world. So as you support me, I will be out there making it happen. I was alluding to my show called The Reconnected Show. Happens every Saturday at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 11 o'clock Arizona Time, on the same network, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. The only difference is between my show and Imam Alpha's show is the last part after the forward slash. After the forward slash in his show, it's Imam Alfred. After mine, it's Reconnected. You call it, or you can call this on the phone, like a lot of you always do that, at 1-347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. Okay? All right, I host that show and have different guests to come on. I appreciate even Alfred for allowing me to have this slot because this way you get a chance to hear me. Whereas on my show on Saturdays, I'm just a guest. I'm just a host allowing the guests to speak the whole time. So this is a good, real good balance. Okay? All right, praise God. All right, so we're going to tune in next week with part 8 with conscious parenting and personal growth. Okay? Very, very good. So the show's going to run an hour. And so like 4:30 to 5:30 and probably the same next week, just check, all right? Or it might be 5 to 6, but you have, I mean, Eastern Standard Time of 7 o'clock to 8 or 6:30 to 7:30. There you go. All right? I'd love to hear your comments in our book club at gmail.com, in our book club at gmail.com, and I'll answer them for you, and we can have a good dialogue, all right? Absolutely. Everybody get this book, Reconnect It. So with that in mind, we'll close the show out. So with all the peace that only God can give, be with you. Assalamu alaikum.